It's typically an arrest or a trial of a celebrity, for example, which catches our attention, sometimes even to the point of addiction. The trial of Jodi Arias was an exception to that rule. The attraction to that trial of someone no one really ever heard of came about due to the revelations, some by Arias herself, of who Jodi Arias is and what took place in her life, which got her into a courtroom with her life on the line. As the retrial, the penalty phase approaches, my next guest has been really the go-to person for the facts and details about this trial, along with hosting her nightly show on HLN, 7 p.m. Eastern weeknights. She's the author of Exposed, The Secret Life of Jodi Arias, which is now available in an updated paperback edition. Good morning, Jane Velez-Mitchell. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So give us a fast recap, and then we'll get into some more current news about this whole trial. But for those late to the party, why is Jodi Arias sitting in the penalty phase of a conviction?
Well, she committed a horrific crime. First, she denied she was there. Then, when confronted with timestamps photos that she thought she had destroyed by sticking the camera in the washing machine that established her presence at the crime scene, the fact that she had had sex with the victim, the fact that she photographed him naked, and extraordinary inadvertent photos of the murder in progress as the camera dropped to the ground, she then said two ninjas did it. Then, when she was confronted with her bloody palm print and DNA of her and the victim mixed together, she ultimately said, yeah, I did it. But then she said it was self-defense and launched a campaign to assassinate the character of the man that she had viciously murdered by stabbing him 29 times and slitting his throat and shooting him. She was convicted of first-degree premeditated murder. The jury hung 8-4 on whether or not to kill her, to put her to death. So under Arizona law, there is a new trial, a retrial just on the penalty phase, and that will determine whether she lives or dies.
And getting to that phase is proving to be challenging. Her attorneys are not happy campers, probably to the surprise of nobody, given what we know of Arias. And now the judge has granted Arias' request to delay the penalty retrial from September 8th. Now it's set for, at least at this point, September 29th.
It's unbelievable. I mean, this man was killed in 2008, and this case just drags on. And she is the puppet master. She is the ultimate manipulator. And it really is an insight into how she manipulated Travis Alexander. So, she says she's going to represent herself. Then she says, well, I need a delay to prepare. Her attorneys are going to advise her. Kirk Nurmi, her lead attorney, desperately wants off the case, has filed motion after motion and begged and pleaded and said, please, I can't stand this woman. We have no relationship. We despise each other, essentially, is what he's saying. And they won't let him off the case, because if they did, it would take God only knows how long to get another attorney up to speed on a death penalty case. The judge has to be very careful, because she doesn't want to have this overturned, whatever the decision is, overturned on appeal. And I get the feeling that the judge isn't too keen about this whole thing. You know, the prosecutor could have elected just to have her go away and not done this second penalty phase. But Prosecutor Juan Martinez is determined to put her in on death row. And so we're going to have to see what happens. But representing herself, Jodi Arias, a pathological liar, somebody who took the witness stand for 18 days, in my book Exposed, The Secret Life of Jodi Arias, we have all the testimony and the backstory. I mean, this woman pretended that she was totally normal until she met this Mormon motivational speaker, Travis Alexander. In my book Exposed, I expose that nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, I reveal that many years earlier, she had stalked a man in a very similar manner to the way she ultimately stalked Travis. I also reveal that her supposedly normal relationship with her previous boyfriend was anything but. There's so many secrets, and then the sex is absolutely extraordinary. I sat in the trial, in the courtroom, while we all collectively listened to a half an hour sex tape, phone sex tape between Jodi Arias and Travis that would make a porn star blush. And she, I believe, surreptitiously recorded this sex call to blackmail him. The bottom line is that she wanted Travis to marry her. She wanted Travis to solve all her problems. She was going into foreclosure. She had money problems. She wanted a knight in shining armor. He was willing to have sex with her, but he wasn't willing to do that extra step and marry her. She wasn't marriage material in his eyes. He wanted a good Mormon girl, a virginal Mormon girl. And so the real dynamics of this is that while she continued to offer herself in a sexual fire sale and he would continue to avail himself of it, he would never commit to doing what she wanted, making her the wife, making her an exclusive relationship. And so she became infuriated when he was going to take another woman to Cancun in a major network marketing convention situation where they would be with all their mutual friends. And I believe that she blackmailed him with this tape. And he said, go ahead, play it. I don't care. And that's when she decided to kill him.
Oh, Jane Velez Mitchell, a paperback edition of her book, Exposed, The Secret Life of Jodi Ehr, is updated as we get ready for the penalty phase retrial. Is now out. Of course, Jane's on weeknights, 7 p.m. Eastern, HLN, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I was thinking back to, didn't Jodi give an interview to a TV station in Phoenix where she basically said that she'd rather get death than life, and how much fodder does that become for the prosecution to use?
Absolutely, even though she took it back very, very soon after that and said, oh, a cousin of mine convinced me I could still be useful to the world by establishing recycling programs in prison, where the prison official came up to me and said, we already have a recycling program. yes, I think the prosecutor could use her own words against her, not just those words, but many of the things that she said that are absolutely outrageous. But, you know, personally, I am not a proponent of the death penalty. I don't think you ever solve violence with violence. And as much as I feel tremendous compassion for the family of Travis Alexander, they've been through such hell with this case, I really feel like this is possibly the prosecutor snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, because he had a great trial, he was brilliant, he convicted her, and now, basically, to bring this new jury up to speed on the case, they're going to have to sort of retry the whole case again. I don't know how they can get around that. The jury has to know the who, what, when, where, why, how. Even if it's in condensed form, it gives Jodi Arias the opportunity to sort of hijack this trial and this penalty phase retrial. So I think that it might be overall a bad idea. You know, it's harder to convict, it's harder to send a woman to death than it is a man, according to a lot of experts, especially a pretty woman, especially a pretty young woman. All she needs is one juror. We'll have to see what happens.
You know, looking at this on both sides of the, from both legal tables, if you're the prosecution, you know, how do you plan and plot a trial against someone like a Jodi Arias, who is more volatile than kerosene in a hand grenade? And if you're the defense attorney, do you start sitting down and really thinking 15 times before you take your next client on?
This woman is, you know, she suffers from borderline personality disorders, what the prosecutor said, and I wholeheartedly agree. And oddly enough, the defense said, no, that's not true. I think it would have been smarter for them to embrace it, because at least we would say this woman is sick, not maybe mentally ill in the legal sense that she doesn't know right from wrong, because clearly she knows right from wrong because she covered her tracks and she lied. But she's a very sick person. And borderline, this book and this case is a fascinating study of borderline personality disorder. And one of the things that really struck me is that while she is an extreme example of a borderline, I think all of us come into contact with people who have borderline symptoms every day, people who don't know boundaries, people who think anything that you've got is theirs, people who won't take no for an answer, people who insert themselves into your life and then act like they're entitled to your entire life. So one of the things that I think we can learn from this case, when people around you start warning you about somebody, listen, because many friends of Travis Alexander begged him and pleaded with him to get rid of this girl and stay away from her. They could see what he couldn't, because he was smitten and because he was addicted to the sex, that she was seriously disturbed. So I think it's a really, really fascinating insight into the darkest side of the human character.
Well, it's certainly a lesson for guys to think with your brain and not with your you-know-what.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And to learn more about this story, again, the penalty phase retrial now delayed until, at least theoretically, until the end of September. God only knows, with the way this trial has gone, what the next step of that will be. But in the meantime, Exposed, The Secret Life of Jodi Arias. If you've been a casual observer, we'll catch you up and get ready for round, well, technically round three, since we went through one penalty phase already. And also, if you've been following, it'll fill in some of the missing pieces from a lot of the inside stories of people in Alexander and Arias' life that Jane Velez Mitchell was able to cultivate and present with facts. And believe it or not, actually, that might be a weird choice of words, but some heart behind the story, too, because you might just see someone or something about yourself, someone else, you know, in one of these two people, and provide some life lessons, strangely enough, human nature being what it is. And, of course, watch Jane every weeknight, 7 p.m. Eastern on HLN. And as you're shopping for Exposed, I want to recommend another one of Jane's books, I Want, because if you need a little catalyst for personal honesty, that's a book that'll get you there as well. Jane Velez Mitchell, thanks so much for the work that you do, and thanks for being here this morning.
It's so great talking to you. Have a great one. Bye.